says that rituals have to be black. So there are other parts of the tefillin also. What about the batim? What color do the batim have to be? So it comes to Isis and says, what does this mean when the Gemara says Ritzua Shchoros Halacha Moshe Mesina? It comes to us and says Ritzua Shchoros Yesha Osim Batim Shal Tefillin Miklaf Lavon Deloba Eden Shchoros El Ritzuos. Repeat Rabbi. Says tells us there are some people who had very stylistic, they had white Batim that they didn't bother coloring their Batim any color whatsoever, and the truth is that the Gemara sounds exactly like they're correct, because the Gemara says that Halacha Moshe Mesina of Ritzuos have to be black. In the realm of Halacha L'Moshe Mesina, it's very hard to say Svaras. It's very hard to say, well, if the Ritzuos have to be black, so Kavachom, the Batim have to be black. It's hard to say such things. So Tosis understood, Tosis quotes, there are some people who understood, Pshutah Kemashmo, that there is no Halacha that the Tefillin Batim have to be black. Not only is there no Halacha L'Moshe Mesina, but Tosis apparently is of the opinion that there's no reason whatsoever for any other possible Halachic reason. Therefore, Halacha L'Mais, there were people who really did not cover the Batim at all. So comes the Shulchan Aruch, and the third of the Mamakamos, and says, Or Habatim Mitzvah Lasoso Shachar. So this is really a quote from the Rosh of Hilchos Tefillin, which is really somewhat of a compromise. Namely, that the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch are not going quite as far as Tosfos said, that it's Mutar L'Chatchila to have the Batim to be white. On the other hand, the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch do not use the phrase Or Habatim, Halacha L'Moshe Mesina Liyo Shachar. They say, apparently, that Min HaTorah, there's really no need for the Batim to be black. The Halacha L'Moshe Mesina is only said in the Rituals. So why is it that the batim has to be black? Why is it a mitzvah l'chatchila? So the Rosh explains, because of hiddur mitzvah. Because the tefillin is going to look very funny. The rituals are black, and then it's going to clash. There's black, and that's white. It doesn't look right. So the batim has to be black, just purely to make the tefillin look a little bit nicer in terms of hiddur mitzvah. So far we have two possibilities. You have either ties the sheet to that, there's no halacha l'moshe mesina, a black batim, and there's no inyan even l'chatchila to make black batim. We have the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch who say that true, there's no halacha l'moshe mesina, but there is an inyan l'chatchila because of hiddur mitzvah. And then finally, there's going to be a third sheet, which the Mishnah Berura, the fourth of the Rambam Chumash quotes, mitzvah is going on that which the Shulchan Aruch says that it's only l'chatchila. Mashed by the b'diyevin ena l'ikuva, it would appear that according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not ma'akev. The yesh poskim, the Svil Hudu, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, Kemo HaRitzuos, Ula Ikuvu Hu Afilu B'Diyavah. There are some poskim who disagree, who say, no, when the Gemara says Ritzuos Shchoros Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, the Gemara means even the Ritzuos, and for sure the Batim, that wasn't even a Shail, of course the Batim must be black, that's the Ikra Tefillin. The Chiddush is that even the Ritzuos, which the Parsha is not inside, the Ritzuos are the secondary part of the Tefillin, even those have to be black. So says the Mishnah Berurah, in case you think that that's not the popular shita, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'bir ha-Gra mashmashu mitzadik kein lahalacha. So that the Gra quotes this opinion, and the Gra says that it's right. V'chein v'yishu es Yaakov, v'chein asher b'l'yarab, v'shu k'nesta k'dola, v'yesh l'hachmir, imlo b'mokam d'lo efsha, l'yesh l'ismach ha-divri ha-makinim, k'deish lo l'esbatam mitzas tefillin. So basically you get the impression that the Mishnah Berurah is really machmir, for sure l'chadchila, and maybe even a shtickle b'diyevet, on the Shaila. Mishnah Berurah seems to side with those posts in the Gra included, that Ritzu HaShchoros HaLacha L'Moshe Mesina includes the Batim as well. So really we have three different opinions in terms of what was included in this HaLacha L'Moshe Mesina, what's the Din L'Maisa. Tells us his extreme opinion that it's Mutl HaTchila to have white Batim. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir HaGra is other extreme position that even B'diyevet, the white Batim apostle, then you have the middle ground of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Rosh, that it's not a HaLacha L'Moshe Mesina, but at least the HaTchila should be followed. We of course try. We tried the chatchila, we tried with the end, we tried very hard to make sure that our batim are black, and we'll see what that means exactly. What if part of the batim starts to chip away? What if part of the ritzuah starts to chip away? We'll see as we go on. So this halacha, which is for sure true concerning the ritzuah, so may not be true concerning the batim, it has to be black. We really have to understand what precisely that means. So there are a few shailas that the poskim have concerning the details of this halacha, which really come up very much l'maisa. So the fifth of the mamakamos, the bir halacha, so the Bir Halacha is written by the Mishnah Berurah, raised the following shaila: Haritzu Ashchoros, Bein Asharosh or Shel Yad, based on the Rambam Shom, which is obviously the Halacha. Umista Pakma comes to Mishnah Berurah and says they have the following suffix, interesting shaila: In Min HaTorah, Dai Bechol Echad Ad Kidei Shi'uro, V'Hashar Hu L'Mitzvah L'Noi B'Alma. We know that the Ritzuos, there's a certain shear to the length of the Ritzuos. So we'll see as we go on in Hilchos Tefillin. So the shear of the Ritzuos is much less than the actual size of the Ritzuos that we make. The shear, let's say, for the Shoyad is enough to go around the arm once or twice, to be able to tie around a little bit, to go down once or twice, and that's it. The fact that we have a meaning of tying so many times around our arm, and then at the end we tie around another 10 times, and we have so much Ritzuos left over at the end, and you strip it in, that 25 times what the shear is. And in terms of the tefillin sharosh, also the ikar adin, the shear of the ritzuos of the sharosh, is much, much shorter than we have. There are different minhagim and chumras that you go down on the right side to the bris milah, on the left side to the stomach, and all kind of chumras and minhagim and zayers and everything. But tachas, the real shear is much, much less than that. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what's the din? The din is that, technically speaking, the shear is much smaller. What's the halach in the following case? Person puts it on his tefillin, and he notices the very end of the part that's wrapping around, the third time around his finger, which he didn't really need in the first place, he notices gevalt, it's all white, and all the paint, all the colors smudged out. Or the same shalom tefillin sharosh. At the bottom, he notices a little bit of the ritzuos on the bottom are cracked, and it's now lost its blackness. So what's the halacha? Should we say that since me'ikar adin, you didn't really need that part of the ritzuos altogether, so make believe that you took a pair of scissors, and cut off that part of the ritzua. If you would cut off that part of the ritzua, it would be kosher. So how could a white ritzua be worse than not having a ritzua altogether? So says the Mishnah Berurah, that's a possibility. So maybe the din is that min haTorah it's enough as long as you have the shear, and the rest is just the chatchila. Aldumah, Mishnah Berurah says an interesting svar, kevin dehi mechuberes kula kechada, since it's all connected, tzrich alias kula shachor. So the entire ritzua, hakol mikol kol, has to be black. And it's going to ma'akabi the evidence. Strange din that calls man that the ritzu is connected. So you have to be machmir to treat the entire ritzu as being black. That's the shayla. Mishnah Berurah is not sure what the din is. But then he tries to make a complicated raya from a gemara mesechus benachos. We leave that raya out. Then he has another shayla a little bit further on, three lines from the bottom of that bir halacha by the period. Gam eni yodea. Says Mishnah Berurah, he's not sure about the following shayla. Im ha'alacha moshe misinai. There's part of the ritzua that's not visible, part of the ritzua that goes into the bias itself. We mentioned last week, so the bottom of three parts. There's the actual top of the bias itself, there's the tisura, which is the bridge in the bottom, the base of the bottom, and then there's the ma'avarta, where the ritzua goes through. So that part where the ritzua goes through, so you can't see, obviously you can't see that part of the ritzua, it's inside. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to know, what would be the din if that part of the ritzua is not black? What would that halacha be? So he says, it's hard to know. Ulechatchila lo mistapakna dechayev lahachshir. So says Mishnah Berurah, lechatchila, of course you have to make that black, because doom is hapecha bayis b'zemokam. Sometimes the bayis moves around, so that part which you think is inside, tomorrow may be outside. But maybe you can argue, ayin b'gemarshem, ach b'diyevru lai dami, that Rambam that he's referring to is a fascinating statement of the Rambam. The Rambam writes that how come the halacha is that only the outer part of the ritzua has to be black, and the part that's against your skin doesn't have to be black? How come that's true? So the Rambam says it's very simple, because the outer part is visible, and the part which is against your skin is not visible. But the Rambam says that's the din, that's the ikar din in terms of halacha Moshe Sinai. But the Rambam says lechatchila you should really blacken both sides of the ritzua. It's a chumra from the Rambam. There are some who follow that, most people don't follow that. I mean, it's not to follow that. We don't know he bothers blackening the inner part of the ritzua. So the Mishnah Berurah is trying to compare the shaila of the part of the ritzua that's inside the mavarta to the part that's facing the skin. Just as the part that's facing the skin, the Rambam says, Meikra din does not have to be black because of the fact that it's not visible anyway. So who dinami to the part that sits inside the mavarta since nobody's seeing it anyway? That's the shaila. Those are the two shailas that the Mishnah Berurah has. So the second child of Mishnah Berurah has another fascinating application of, I'll tell you a ma'aseh shehaya kacha, it was a ma'aseh that happened to me. So this goes back already a few years ago. Somebody came to me and he wanted to borrow my tefillin. So I said, okay, well, you borrow my tefillin, no problem. I lent him my tefillin. So then, when I got my tefillin back, so I always know whenever I lend somebody my tefillin, so I hate the way they wrap it up. I can't stand it. It takes me 20 minutes in the morning to find where it is. Half the time I stick my hand and I pick out the wrong piece. The good side is, you know what, I have a rule. Whenever I lend someone my tefillin, after I get it back, I always undo it and then wrap it again. So I start to take them apart and to rewrap it, and I noticed, you know, my ritzuah is looking in pretty bad shape. I said, you know, I could have sworn that I put on tefillin this morning, and I didn't remember the ritzuah was looking like that. And I noticed it looked pretty bad right around the kesher on the show Rosh. It looked disaster. I looked at it a little closer. I said, this guy clearly did something to it. What could he possibly have done? They were all scratched up, all over the place. It was scratched. The paint was scratched away. So I went back to him. I said, you know, can you just explain to me what damage exactly did you do in the 20 minutes that you were in the tefillin? So he said, oh no, I'll tell you what happened. He said, they didn't fit so well, so I just wanted to adjust the kesher a little bit. My heart almost dropped. We'll see you next week, maybe we talk about the kesher of tefillin, whether you're even allowed to do that altogether. Okay, that's a different story. How you're allowed to do it, you have to make a small, complicated shiloh. That was my first problem. So I said, okay, so how did you adjust the kesher? He said, well, the kesher was very tight. I said, thank you, that's supposed to be that way, that's what the halacha is. Kesh was very tired, I couldn't get it out with my hands. So what did you do? So he said, I stuck a key inside, and I started to pull on the kesh, and I got it out. I said, you got it out, you ripped off after, you scratched that half of my block on my ritus. So I got some tefillin paint, and I started to, you know, paint up the damage control. And then I thought to myself, you know, this guy stuck a key inside the kesher. I don't know what's going on inside the kesher. I'm not even sure whether inside the kesher is black anymore. I don't know what he did. There's a big rafter in front of me. He scratched off the other rest of the ritzuah. So I started to think to myself, you know, Taka, what's the din? What's the halacha? Does the inner part of the part of the ritzuah that you can't see, because it's part of the kesher itself, does that have to be black or not? What's the din? I tell you the truth, I didn't know what the halacha was. I'm thinking, I don't remember anyone talk about it. So I called a friend of mine who's a cipher, and I asked him, you know, what's the din? What are the poskim say about this? So he responded to me with one answer. He said, what's the din about the part of the ritzuah that's inside the mavarta? So I said, you know, vaguely I remember there's a bar halacha about that. So he said, well, he thinks that's the same thing. And Machari is right. The same shiloh. The reason why the Mishnah Berurah is mistopic about the part that's inside the mavarta is because it's not visible. So who would deny me? The black part that's inside the kesher is not visible either. So I said to the cipher, okay, so now that you told me the secret, so how do we pass it? So he said, well, it's a suffix in the Bir Halacha. What do you want from me? I said, you know, you're talking right. So I said, okay, fine. So this particular cipher was in Brooklyn, so I didn't feel like traveling all the way to Brooklyn to get him to open up the kesher and see what's going. So I found another cipher in Washington Heights, who I went over to. I came to him, never forget, he couldn't understand what I was talking about. I said, do me a favor, undo my kesher. I want to see what's doing inside. So he said, what could possibly be doing inside? I said, do me a favor, open up my kesher for me. I want to see what's doing. He opened it up, and kachava, it was scratched out. Part of the plaque was scratched out inside. So I said, oh, you see, Baruch Hashem. So now he repainted my whole ritzuah for me, all inside, outside, and everything. And sure, Baruch Hashem, now it's full of back in hopefully good condition. So this is the shaila. These are the different shmekas that the Mishnah Berurah has concerning the hashkaras of ritzuahs. The issue of what's the status of past the point of the shiur, what's the status of inside the ma'avarta, and the chara, the halacha equivalent of that, what's the story inside the kesher. There seems to be one thing clear that the Mishnah Berurah is assuming, which is highly questionable, which is as follows. When we speak about the tefillin being black, the ritzuah has to be black. So what does that mean? It means every drop on the ritzuah, every little teeny mashu of non-black is going to passel the tefillin. Somehow it's hard to believe. So the emphasis of the Mishnah Berurah really sounds that that's a problem. The Mishnah Berurah talks about these very small parts of the tefillin. How much of the ritzuah is inside the mavarta? It's nothing. It's batel b'rayv, batel b'shishim, batel b'elef. It's such a small part of the ritzuah. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be concerned about that. The Mishnah Berurah, L'shitaso, in other places, writes that when you tie your tefillin shoyad, you have to be careful. After a few years of tying your tefillin shoyad, we all know that part where you tie tends to wear away a little bit. So the Mishnah Berurah says every once in a while you just take a look and touch it up a little bit with black, because it tends to lose its blackness, and tefillin ritzuos that are not black are not kosher. So there also, how much blackness, how much is that makom? The whole thing is a mashahu. So the Mishnah Berurah in all these places seems to be assuming that there's no shear, that any part of the ritzuah that's not black is a potential problem. So the other poskim disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. Other poskim say that it's not really true. Other poskim say that as long as rova the ritzuah is black, or at least it's a significant part is black, they give different shearim. But it's interesting, this shiloh says, Mamash Allah Hamash Mesina, it doesn't say Beferish, the Gemara doesn't say Nushav, doesn't say Nushach Rach. How much black is considered to be black? So the Chachil, I always tell people they should really try to be makbar in this. Bein b'ritzu is bein of the batim, because the batim are also, according to some poskim, halacha l'moshem sinai also. It's a little bit more room to be made on the batim, but lechatchila, why don't you try to always make sure that his tefillin are in good shape. So one of the basic maintenance jobs, like an oil change. You don't have to go to the safe before. If you're not doing an oil change yourself, so this you have to do yourself. Every once in a while, you should take a look at your tefillin and see, and make sure that they touch him up a little bit. So in the olden days, they used to have the spray paints. You know, those, remember the spray cans. So the problem with the spray cans is you whiff a little bit too much of that and you're out for your putt from tefillin for a week. So I never liked the spray cans. And the other things that you have, they have with the whiteouts, with the blackouts, you know, the little brush inside. The problem with those is you give one good zest and the whole thing spills all over the place, and you have to be very careful when you do your batim. You ruin your ritzu, okay, so you get a little extra black ritzu. If you pour one of those things, bottles of ink, bottles of paint all over your batim, so you can have paint can go inside the holes in your bottom, the holes the bottom of porous that can get into the parishes, you can ruin the entire pair of tefillin. You have to be very careful with those. So Baruch Hashem, they came up with a new thing, the tefillin magic markers. So you see, my father-in-law came in just in time, so he bought me It goes back about 5 years ago. You bought me a tefillin magic marker from Eretz Yisrael, so I still use it. I keep it inside my tefillin bag, and every once in a while, I take a look. I noticed a little touch-up job. So I highly recommend if you would have ordered this last week, you just came back from Eretz Yisrael, you could have bought everyone's tefillin magic markers. So I highly recommend. They're a great idea. They're easy. They dry in 1 second. You don't have to sit around and wait for them. So they're a good idea to keep the tefillin lechatchila really in the best top shape. Well, I'm sure they tell him here. There is a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch in the next Imam Makom, which is important for anyone who's going to touch up their tefillin in terms of painting. The following Shaila, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Sifdal, in Sifdal Lamagimel, Sifdal, my Makom number 6, Tov sheyashchirem Yisrael l'shman v'lo eni Yehudi. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what's the din in terms of the painting of the tefillin, either the original painting or the touching up jobs, whatever the case may be? What is the halacha in terms of twofold, in terms of lishma, whether it has to be done for the intention, l'shem kedushas tefillin, and what's the halacha of a non-Jew does it. So usually there's a halacha in terms of preparing kisvei hakodesh, let's say to write the parshas of tefillin, to write a sefer Torah, to write a mezuzah. So there are two halachas. Number one, it has to be written lishma, and number two, it has to be written by a Jew, by somebody who's chayiv in the mitzvah of tefillin, and someone who has the ability to create the status of lishma. So this halacha of doing it lishma, doing it Ayidei Yisrael, so this is true not only for the writing of the parashas, this is true for the making of the batim, and this is probably true for the making of the ritzuos. But what about the painting of the ritzuos? So this is not really asiyas atfilin. So maybe one can argue that this is not asiyas atfilin, this is just putting the finishing touches on. So maybe the halachas of lishma don't apply. So the reason why the Shulchan Aruch writes this very, very parav aloshem, tov sheyashchirem, is because it's a safek of the Rishonim. He quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch, who wasn't sure whether this is true or not. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, lechatchila levadia, should be careful to paint it lishma, and it should be painted by a Jew. But the impression of Shulchan Aruch is that the evidence is going to be cautious. We're not so convinced that it's a problem. So comes the Ramah and gives the following split. Umiyu b'di'evet kashim hishcha or havatim, aval ritzuas afilu b'di'evet pasol. So comes the Ramah and says that maybe b'di'evet we should be mechalek between the batim and the ritzuas. This is a throwback to what we said before. The stakes are much greater when you're dealing with the ritzuas, because the ritzuas, everybody agrees is halacha l'moshe mesina. That's the beferish of Gemara. No one questioned that. The or habatim was a big machlokes that we showed him. Some Rishonim said there's no inyan even lechatchila of having black batim. Other Rishonim said even if you need it, but it's only lechatchila. And there was one opinion that says it's ma'achir b'diyevet. So the Ramah says that when you're dealing with the batim, which is not even so posh that it had to be black in the first place, and it's not so posh that the blackening has to be done l'shma anyway, so if b'diyevet, if you went ahead and you blackened your batim, shalom l'shma, so that's not the end of the world. If you blacken your ritzua shalom l'shma, that's a significant problem. So whenever we talk about doing things lishma, there's a machlekes of Rishonim, whether lishma can be accomplished through just thought process, just machshava alone, whether lishma has to be accomplished after with dibur. So this is the machlekes, not only in chas tefillin, this is in terms of chas tzitzis, when you make tzitzis. So when the halacha is that according to many Rishonim, you have to put the chutim inside the holes lishma. So we'll get to this hopefully down the line, we get to chas tzitzis. So since we're machmir to insist on putting the chutin in lishma, so you're really supposed to lechatchil say lishma, because there are some rishonim who say that if you don't say it, that's not considered to be lishma. Well, let's say when you bake matzahs, so everybody knows when you bake matzahs, everyone goes to the matzah bakery, everyone's screaming shrei chayvakayim l'shai matzahs mitzvah, because you have to lechatchil, you have to say it lishma. Anyone who's ever seen a get, so the same is true also when you write a get. So the sofer and the edim always say l'shem ha'ish, l'shem ha'isha, l'shem gerishin. Also, we don't want to rely on just thinking it that it's l'shem gerishin, l'shem ha'isha, l'shem ha'isha. We insist on actually verbalizing it. And some Rishonim say that it has to be actually verbalized. It's interesting, the Rishonim point out that this machlokes about whether whenever you speak about the Shema has to be with words or it's a lomba machshava is really an extension of another machlokes of Rishonim in terms of machshava shalol l'shma. When do you ever have a case of shalol l'shma? I cut him. The halacha is that if you shech the korban with a wrong machshava, so people learning about Yomiria and Zvachim, so if you shech the korban with the wrong machshava, sometimes that can destroy the korban, sometimes that can passel the korban, depending on the extent of the korban, depending on the extent of the machshava. So there's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Whenever the Mishnah is speaking about machshava by kachim, does machshava mean thought? Is the kohen just thinking l'shem chutz l'zman or chutz l'mkom or l'shem korban acher? Or does it mean he's actually verbalizing it? So Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Balei Taisis that we quoted from before, so Rabbeinu Baruch says, whatever the answer to the machshava of shalom l'shma is, that's the same answer to the machshava l'shma. I mean, when the Torah speaks about machshava, bein l'hachshav, bein l'ifso, does the Torah address thought processes? Does the Torah mean dibur? Dvarim shablei bein and dvarim. Whatever you think, doesn't matter. What really matters is what you say. So that's the shaila in terms of the chus gittin, and the chus titzis, and the chus mat, and the chus tefillin. So when it comes to the blackening of the tzuas, the same thing is true also. But since we try, for sure, the chatchila, to blacken our tzuas lishma, so therefore, before a person touches up their ritual, so they're supposed to say l'shem kedushas tefillin. That's the nusach. It goes in l'shem kedushas tefillin. It even says it on the magic mark. It says beferish tzarech loma l'shem kedushas tefillin before you do it. If the ever a person didn't say l'shem kedushas tefillin, maybe you can argue he had machshav and maybe it's good enough. So the whole din is not for sure anyway. Since according to many poskim, just the touching up is not really kuv anyway, because except according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Pasha says is that if most of the ritzu is black, so part of the ritzu is kosher anyway. So most of the touch-up job that we do, so if by some chance you didn't actually say l'shem kedushas tefillin, so don't throw out your ritzu and stuff, but it's still kosher. Yesh harbe milismach. But in terms of l'chadchila, the correct thing to do is whenever you do any tikkun and tefillin, or for that matter, in Sefer Torah, or any time you do anything, so the correct thing to do is to actually verbalize the shay, to say l'shem kedushas. Remember, I had a shayla last Purim. I just bought a brand new Megillas Esther, and we're being mechanech in a shul. Last Purim, the first time so I gave it to Bakari Shalane from the beautiful new Megillah. So, to my embarrassment, he was in the middle of laning, and there was a letter that was missing. That the Sefer had done a beautiful job, he just missed one letter. He had started to write, I think it was a, I don't remember which letter was it, it was a letter which had a couple of strokes to it. But Mustam, what happened was, he had written half the letter, he probably got a phone call, he stopped in the middle and forgot that he was in the middle of the letter, and continued to the next. So here I spent $1,500 on Megillah, and was missing a letter. Because Megillah is not so bad, it's kosher anyway, but the other, you know, it hurts. So it really bothered me, you know, here I wanted to use the Megillah the next morning also, and I'm not a cipher, so I didn't know how to, you know, I wasn't going to patch get around with it. So in shul, it happened to be talking about someone who was visiting for him, who's a fellow who's a Temani, so a lot of Temanim are sofrim. So I asked him, just as if any chance he was sofer. He said, of course I'm a sofer. Sofer, sheikh, everything that works. So you name it, I have it. So you want a chicken, you have a baby, everything. So he fixed the Megillah for me on the spot. So not little in the middle of laning, that much he didn't do. And I told him, he remembers the story. So right after Kriya, the Megillah was over. So he pulled out his equipment and he fixed it. So I said to him, before you do it, just say l'shem kedusha. The person of Machlekes, you say l'shem kedusha Megillah, l'shem kedusha Megillah Esther. Complicated shaila. So I said to him, just repeat after me, l'shem kedusha Megillah Esther. So he was making fun of me. He said, you think I don't know? I'm a cipher. So he said, okay, I'm running to the mikveh right now before I start, before I do anything, before I touch it. He said, okay, that much. You run to the mikveh before you say nunan Megillah Esther. Yesh makom mahakom b'shasad chak. But at least you have to say l'shem kedusha. So getting back to the rituas. So the Maaser Shulchan Aruch says that by the Ritzuas, really even with the Eved, we have problems if they were not done the Shema, whereas by the Batim, so is Nesh Kefelech. So there is a suggestion that Poskim have, what if with the Eved a goof? That I don't mean, you know, goof in the sense of you touched up a little bit, but the original blackening of the Ritzuas was Takadon Shalai Kalach. It was Takadon by somebody not Jewish, it was done by someone Jewish who wasn't paying attention to what they were doing. They didn't do it l'shema. Is there any way to salvage these Ritzuas? So there's not as ever, we wouldn't even think of the Shaila. But it's a big deal. There were two of us. That was Ritzuas. $40-$50. So put them in shame. You get another set of Ritzuas. The olden days, it was a tough thing to tell people. So the Magen Avraham has an unbelievable chiddush. Magen Avraham wanted to salvage the Ritzuas that were painted Shalol l'shema. How does he do this? So he dug up a Gemara Maseches Gittin. So remember we said before, a lot of the dinim of l'shema that apply in Hilchos Tefillin have their sources in Hilchos Gittin, because it's really the same type of scenario. There comes a Gemara Maseches Gittin in the 7th of the Maamar Kamos, the following discussion. This is Magen Avraham's attempt to save the Ritzuas. So Amar of Chizda, get shekasva shalol l'shma, v'heber lof kumus l'shma. Let's say you wrote a get shalol l'shma. He wrote the whole thing. Hakam Mikakol. He wrote it for another woman. Happened to have the same name, so he wrote a shalol l'shma. And now you want to use this. You want to use this get for the woman who is going to be divorced. So it's pasul min haTorah, because by getting it says v'chasav law. Law means l'shma. So is there any way to salvage this get? So Rav Chizda says maybe just take another pen, take the same pen, just write over each one. It says be'echad b'shabbos, so just write over the bays again, write over the aleph again, write over everything, mamish word for word, and the second time of writing, you should do it l'shma. So Rav Chizda says, maybe that'll solve the problem. This is going to be a machlekes hatanoim, whether that's acceptable. So at first glance, it's very hard to believe. How can that be acceptable? We have a clown halach called ksav agav ksav, like in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say you write a letter, and let's say you wrote a letter on Friday afternoon, and then you rewrite over that same letter on Shabbos, so Pashup Shabbos, that's not a nisar, not just in the Torah. It's ksava gabi ksav. The second ksav is meaningless. It's like ein bishul acha bishul, ein kleis ma kleis. The word is there already. So what are you adding? So how could Rav Chisda even dream of saying that the second writing is going to be machshir the get, since the first writing was the psul, so the get's over? So the answer is, the way Tosfos explains in Maseches Gittin, is that no, when do we say the ksav gabi ksav is totally meaningless? That's when the second ksav is not adding anything to the first ksav. It's the same thing. That was black and this is black. But when the second ksav has a dimension that the first ksav didn't have, namely the second ksav has lishma, so maybe ksav agav ksav is considered to be ksav. So that's the shah that Rav Chisda is trying to deal with. Maybe when the second ksav has a, this added dimension of lishma, so maybe that is considered to be ksav of the Allah, and therefore the get's going to be kosher. So Rav Chisda claimed it was a machlekes ha-tanoim. What was the shayla? So the sanya, we learned in the brayse as follows. Hareisha tzorach lichtovas Hashem. Person's writing the Sefer Torah, and it comes time to write the Shem Hashem, to write the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he wasn't paying attention. V'niskaven lichtav Yehuda. So now he thought that it says Vaydav Hashem Moshe Leim. He thought it was Yehuda speaking. He thought he was supposed to write Vaydav Yehuda. And v'tov lo hitlo b'dalet. So when he wrote that word, he did not have lishma l'shem kedushas Hashem. The halacha is when you write the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, so you have to have an additional kavana l'kadosh Hashem. You have to say it that, or at least Shas Lechak think it, maybe Mekadosh Hashem Bekaros Hashem Hashem. So he didn't do that because he thought he's supposed to write Yehuda. But then what happened? He made a double mistake, and he ended up, he spelled Yehuda wrong. He ended up writing Taka Yud Kei Vav Kei. So here he's got himself. Here, this is the guy. He's on two cell phones at the same time. So he was supposed to write the Shem Hashem. He thought he's supposed to write Yehuda, and then he goofed and writing Yehuda, and he ends up, sometimes in life, sometimes the second mistake ends up correcting the first mistake. So now he's got a perfect Yud Kei Vav Kei on the page in front of him, but it wasn't done the Shema. So what can this person do? So comes the Brice and says, Mavil of Kumus Umekachel Divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, just take out your pen again, and write over it a second time, write Yud on top, and write in the etc. Write the Isis of Shem Hashem, the Shem Kedusha Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says that's okay. Why is that okay? The Shem was written B'Psul, was written Shalom B'Kavana the first time. Ksav Agab Ksav is meaningless. So the answer is Rabbi Yehuda holds that when the second Ksav adds something that the first Ksav didn't have, that's okay. The Chacham say, no, that's no good. Yeah, that's not an acceptable Shem Hashem. So Rav Chisda thought that this shayla that he's raising about to get is good for the Machlekes HaTanoim, namely, Ksav Agav Ksav is generally speaking not good, but maybe when the second Ksav has Kedusha added to it, so it has the Shema added to it, so maybe B'chi Agav Ksav Agav Ksav is acceptable. So Rav Chisda wanted to extrapolate from the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which is the Machlekes in Uchel Sefer Torah, and carry this over to Chaz Gittin. So Amr of Achaba Yaakov, Achaba Yaakov said, no, it's not a good comparison. Dum Alohi. Ad kan lo ka amir rabbanon hasam de be'in ezek keli ve'anvei avaleika aval hachalo, that if you look carefully when the Chachamim say that the Sefer Torah is no good, what's their lashon? Ein Hashem in a mufchar. I mean, that's not a right way, it's not a nice way, not a b'kavadik way of writing the Shem Hashem. That's the Shem Hashem was there already, and just added, I threw a little bit more ink on top of it to be Yetzir Zayin. That's not a nice way of writing the Shem Hashem. But in terms of bottom line, is that considered to be a ksav? So maybe, yeah, maybe the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that in terms of Hilchos ksav, maybe Taka Rabbi Yisrael is right, that since the second ksiv is adding something, the aspect of the Shema the first ksiv didn't have, that's good enough in terms of being labeled the second ksiv as a ksiv. Nafkamin in terms of Gittin. So in terms of Gittin, you don't have a beautiful get. As long as the words are there, as long as it was written, it's kosher. It doesn't matter whether it looks pretty, not pretty, that's irrelevant. So it could be that in Hilchos Gittin, everybody agrees that if the second ksav was done with Shema, so then the Chi Agav and the Ksav Agav Ksav is considered to be acceptable. So in effect, we have a Machlaikis Amaroim. What did the Chum say? We pass like the Chum. The Chum said the Feirish that if the Shem Hashem was written with Psul and you want to rewrite it with Lishma, it's not acceptable. Why is that? Is that a general din that the Chum hold that's called Ksav Agav Ksav being not acceptable? Or is that a unique halacha in Uchel Sefer Torah because of Hidden Mitzvah, Zekel Ven Veil? Nafkamina in terms of Gittin. So comes the Magen Avram and says, maybe we have a right to be Mekel on the Shaila, since there are some opinions in the Gemara that seem to say that when the second Ksav adds something to the first Ksav, so then we ignore what's underneath and we only accept the second layer. So says the Magen Avram, what's the difference between painting and writing? If Ksav Agav Ksav counts when the second Ksav is Lishma and the first wasn't, so maybe Hashcharas Haritzuos, Agabi Hashchar is also good. What happened? The first guy blocked the Ritzuos, Shalol Lishma, and now Nebuch have to put it into shame. He says, no problem. Just take out your paintbrush and paint over again. And the second time, say Lishma. Are you going to say, what are you accomplishing with the second painting? They're painting already, they're blocked already. So Says the Magen Avraham, no. That since the second painting is being done l'shma, so just as in Huchas Gittin, that's okay, and just as in Huchas Sefer Torah, really should have also been okay, except it's a hidden mitzvah. So one can argue that notion of hidden mitzvah, that's by the Shem Hashem. By the Ritzuah, Tachas the black, Manaf Kamina, another coat of black. What's the difference? It also looks pretty. So the Magen Avraham wanted to salvage the Ritzuah. So others questioned the Magen Avraham. They didn't like this Eitzah. They thought that first of all, it's not clear in the Gemara, that that's how we really paskin. Maybe you can distinguish between writing and painting. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a different Eitzah, like, got me a different Eitzah. Remember we said before that Mikra did only one side of the Ritzuah has to be black. That doesn't really say Beferish in the Halacha which side it has to be. So no problem. So paint the other side. So once they're both black now, one side is possible and one side is kosher. So just turn the Ritzuah inside out. So then the middle is going to be kosher. You just have to always remember. You can get very confused. You have to remember which side is the kosher side, which side is the possible side. This man is there. If this happens, put him in shame. Take out another pair of Ritzuahs. But in terms of the Magen Avraham wanted to bring us a lomdish dion from the sugya Maseches Gittin in order potentially to be machshir. There is one last shaila concerning Ritzuos, which is the shaila really that was raised in the days of Rebbe Yehuda. That's in terms of what elements, what ingredients can go into the paint. Either is there any halacha? So the Gemara doesn't say anything. The Gemara doesn't say there's no halacha b'shem Sinai. What the paint has to be made of. As long as it's black, that's considered to be acceptable. What if some of the ingredients that go into the paint are non-kosher ingredients? So this was a real shaila that you discussed, that they used to use something from the whales or something. They used to use ingredients from trade for fish. There was always a shaila in terms of the shellac and coming from beetles, all kinds of different potential trade for ingredients. Is that a problem in terms of the ritzuos? Why, in terms of the blackness of the ritzuos? Why should it be a problem? So we know there's a klal, the Gemara tells us in the 8th of the Mamakomas, the Tanur of Yosef, there's a klal, whenever you're preparing some type of object for the purposes of melech shemayim, such as the pirat film, mezuzah, sefer Torah, things of that nature, it has to always be from kosher species. That's what the din is. You have to write film on cloth, of course, from a kosher animal. So what's the halacha? Maybe we could argue as follows. That the halacha says that that's the chetz of the mitzvah itself. That's like the ritzu itself has to be from a kosher animal. The bottom has to be from a kosher animal. The parshias, the cloth has to be from a kosher animal. The shachar, the blackness, that's not the gufa mitzvah. That's the end. That's the shirayim at the end. Mashal madav adoma, the same way we had a svara, that maybe the creation of the ritzuos, the making of the ritzuos has to be lishma. Maybe the blackening doesn't have to be lishma, but maybe the blackening, that's like a davar min achutz. That's like tangential. It's not the ikar part of the mitzvah. So that's the shout that the Nebbi Yehuda raises. Whether this din of lahukshu l'mlecha shemayim l'or behem ato abuvad, is that limited only to the creation of the etzim haritzua? Does this carry over to even to the black? So l'chor, there's a raya. The raya should be from tzitzis, because we know the Torah tells us you have to have tcheles in your tzitzis, and tcheles comes from mechilazon. Mechilazon, whether we do know or don't know exactly what mechilazon is, it seems, at least according to many Rishonim, the Chilazon was not a kosher creature. It was something in the snail family or something. So it's not kosher. How can it be? How can the Torah say that you have to make tzitzis and dye the tzitzis blue from the dam of the Chilazon? So the answer to that question is, you see from there, that it's not the tzitzis itself. It's just the dye. So whatever's considered to be just the coloring, that was never included in the klal of l'huchshul l'mlechah shemayim. So that's the Nadi Buda's raya. That just as in l'chus tzitzis, the klal is that there is no requirement that the color be made from a kosher animal or dinami when it comes to the blackening of the ritzuos. There is no halacha. The black and the shellac, it could be from beetles, from whales, from sharks, you name it, whatever you want to make it from, it's perfectly okay. So the emes is that the Navid himself writes that he's not so convinced that that's a good raya, based on the following. There is a Ran, the last of the Mamakamos, where the Ran suggests the following shaila. Umiyu, in the first one line, the Ran Amiu, Afagav the Maskin and Chutz Mishal Paritz, the Ran of Rosekas Rosh Hashanah, which is quoted as follows, that even though we paskin that all animals are kosher, all shofars, so many animals kosher, with the exception of the cow for technical reasons, says the Ran, Ershad the Dafkib Tahorim of Tameim Lo. Says the Ran, maybe if you have a treif animal, you have to find the treif animal that has a horn. Okay, let's say you have a treif animal that has a horn. So the Ran says he's not sure, is that horn kosher for the Kiyah Shofar or not? He pilples back and forth, maybe and maybe no. What's the Shaila? What's the suffix of the Ran? So the Navid explains, and the stomach of the suffix is like this. The only time we find that you need kosher animals, that's like tefillin, by Sefer Torah, by mezuzahs, those are Tashmisha Kedusha. Tashmisha Kedusha means that something has to be put into Shemus. The Gemara Megillah says that anything which is involved with the Shem Hashem, like a parasha of tefillin, or the ritzuos which are connected to the tefillin, or the Sefer Torah, or the mezuzah, anything like that which has some shaykhah to Shem Hashem, that's Tashmisha Kedusha, and when you finish using it, you have to put it into Geniza. Hashem Enkein, a fair tzitzis. Tzitzis don't have to go into Sheamus. A lulav doesn't have to go into Sheamus. The Rishonim say you shouldn't throw Amish into the rest of the garbage, wrap it up in a plastic bag and throw it into the garbage. But in terms of Geniz, that doesn't require. So that's what the Nebut explains. That's the suffix of the Ran. This din that you require kosher animals, maybe that's only by Tashmisha Kedusha, not by Tashmisha Mitzvah. If that's what the Ran wasn't sure, what's the din by a shofar? Back and forth, he's not sure. So if it's true that the Shmishe Mitzvah never required kosher ingredients, then the Raya from Tzitzis is up the creek. Because the Raya from Tzitzis was just as by Tzitzis, where you have to have kosher ingredients, but you see the color is not ma'akev in terms of kashras. So who are dimbit tefillin? That's absolutely not a good Raya at all. Because by Tzitzis, even the Tzitzis themselves don't have to come from kosher animals, in theory, because the din of Lahukshu was only said by Tashmisha Kedusha, not by Tashmisha Mitzvah. Hashem king tefillin, you want to bring a riot to tefillin, the tefillin ain't lechat Tashmisha Kedusha Gadol Mizeh. So the shayla is still somewhat up in the air. So that's the question that the poskim have. It's still somewhat unresolved whether the halacha of shachar, the halacha being black, is there any halacha in terms of being kosher ingredients in that? I remember years ago they used to always say that to stam use regular shoe polish, you shouldn't use when you want to blacken your tefillin. You should use Kelly shoe polish. That used to be the lush. I remember, is Kelly still around? I don't know what's still around. This would be a brand called Kelly shoe polish. That used to be the nusach. They used to say to use Kelly shoe polish. I don't know exactly why. I think Kelly had a little kickback from that. But I think they're probably all the same. They're probably in the stomach, they're all the same. But in terms of, I don't know, some of his mana's there, so we get into the habit. We use the filling paints and the other stuff, which is probably just made by Kelly. Just made a little bit, put a stamp of approval on it. But rather, as long as if there are no trace ingredients there, then for sure anything, any other type of black is good. And even if there are trace ingredients in it, it's also not so posh that that's going to be a problem. But I call banim, these are at least some of the issues that related to this halacha of Moshe Messina over two
Ashkenaz. Just repeat the first 2 minutes, we'll take, just repeat a memory of
Okay, this month's shiur was sponsored by Passion Steve Cates and family in memory of Tzvi Ben Avtalia Kohen.
Okay. And the shiur was on Ritzu Ashkenaz.
Okay.